wrapping up this series, looking at the world system. And last week we spent a little bit of time considering contentment. You know, the world system, as it appeals to the flesh, if it can get you to seek your own satisfaction or your own contentment, can move an individual to be operating independently from God. And so the world system, it's just simply it's an organized arrangement of unsaved humanity. It really deals with how things function here on earth. We know the world system is Satan's baby. He's the ruler of it. And this world system, it has its own wisdom, has its own standards, and it has its own message, if you will, for how people can order their lives. And so when we take a closer look at the world system and who the ruler of it is, we can see that the system is designed for the ruler of it to be able to manipulate people. And it's also designed for people to be able, or for people to operate independent of the one true God. In a verse that I'm going to bring your attention to today, we're reminded of an important truth. It says, because as that one is, so are we in this world. And so that one would be in reference to Christ. As he is, as that one is, so are we in the world. And so I want you to keep that in mind. Because how is that one in the world? Does he belong to it? Is he thoroughly or completely occupied with it? Is he trying to change it? Those are rhetorical questions. So we're going to explore some of these things, and let's go ahead and open with prayer, and we'll begin. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're grateful again for the opportunity that we have to be together in your word, to be with other believers, and to be learning and growing as your Holy Spirit guides and teaches, and we would pray that he would continue to do so in our remaining time, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, agape love, when we talk about agape love, agape love is a quality of God. It's one of his attributes. The child of God can manifest that he's a child as he manifests God's quality of love by fulfilling the new commandment to love one another. Now, the world, unsaved humanity, those that make up the world system, aren't going to always have a positive response to that. We can see this back in 1 John. In 3:11, John reminds his readers of the new commandment. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should agape one another. I mean, and you could take this back to the upper room, of course, the new commandment to the church. Love one another. find it interesting or curious that we have these references to hate. You know, the world system is going to hate you in these contexts that deal with loving one another. Because a lot of times when we love one another, well, there's probably not going to be a lot of unbelievers around. But when we love one another, we're allowing the life of Christ to be reflected out through us. Now, that process is a transforming process that's going on. You can see that over in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're being changed into the same image. You know, if you go back further in that context, you see that Moses had a remnant of the glory that was diminishing from his presence in the Lord. I believe there's an effect that when we love one another, we don't have to have unbelievers here to see that. I believe when we love one another and then we go out into the world, there's something that's happened to us that makes us different, that is in some way, some fashion, discernible, or there's something that makes us different that can be perceived on some level. And so in 1 John in chapter 3, he brings up the new commandment that we should love one another. In verse 12, he says, this is 1 John 3:12, not as Cain, who was out from that evil one and slew his brother. Wherefore, why did he slay his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now in verse 13, he says, marvel not. Stop being amazed, my brethren, since the world hates you. And so there's can be this silent hatred that's a result of the child of God manifesting that he is a child by fulfilling the new commandment. Let me turn over to chapter 4 and pick up in verse 16. Here he says, and we have known, we have experientially known and believed the love that God has, rather than to us, is in us. In us. God is, as the character and quality, love. And he that dwelleth, or just remains settled in love, dwelleth or remains settled in God and God in him. And so here we see this focus on this relationship here. And I believe we have God the Father in view here. Then he goes on in verse 17, 1 John 4:17, by this, or herein, the King James, just by this is our love made perfect in a state of having been brought to completion, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And so this boldness or confidence in the day of judgment. Now, our judgment, our future judgment, deals with our works. Not our person. We've already been judged in Christ. Now, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, the world system would influence you to neglect your position in Christ. Here he says, because as he is, because as that one is. Now, I think it's going back into the context in reference to the Son of God, as that one is, so are we in this world. And so as he, there's a complete separation from this world system in our position in Christ. And so as Christians, and we've been reminded of this, we are in the world system. So we are in it, but we're not out from it as the source. We don't belong to it. We've been reminded that we are to use it, but we're not to abuse it or to use it to its full. We're not to be thoroughly occupied with it, in other words. We also know that we should not be misdirecting agape love at it or the things in it. Nor should we become fond of it. I'm not going to go all of the verses that would tie that all in. But this is true for the Christian. And we've mentioned the world system. It's one of Satan's main tools for spreading his corruption. But it is a corrupt system. And this corrupt system has a judged ruler. And so the ruler of it has been judged. So as Christians, we need to constantly be remembering while we're here on earth that we are simultaneously in two environments. There's two environments. There's a physical environment and there's a spiritual environment. The physical environment is here on earth in the world system. The spiritual environment is at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the world system places a lot of focus on the here and now. It wants to overwhelm you with messages to get you to focus on the physical. It appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the senses, especially the eyes. You know, if you can, if you can see it, then you can imagine it, you can touch it, you can taste it, you can experience it. The eye gate really becomes a pathway into the heart and into the mind. And so you see, it appeals to the flesh, it appeals to the senses, and it appeals to the physical life, to physical life, and the glory that's associated with physical life. It strongly appeals to those things. So as it does that for the Christian, it can influence the Christian to either neglect or misuse one's position in Christ. The system is not set up to guide you into your position in Christ. It's to get you to focus on the here and now, the physical. And the world system can do this. It can provide this influence by providing its own wisdom, its own standards, and its own things to focus on that are antipodal to the things that God would have for us. God's wisdom, God's standards, and where God would have us place our focus. In Christ, the believer is set apart to God. He's placed as a son. He's highly favored. He's made near to God. These are just a few of the things that we relate to our position in Christ. The world system would have you focus on your social status, your financial status, your race, your nationality, your health, your wealth. But in Christ, we're made part of the body of Christ. We're made one with Christ and one with one another. And so that's why John says, as he is, so are we in this world. We're completely separated from it in Christ. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 in verse 30, Paul reminds his readers here that they're out from God as the source. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, he says, but out from him, talking about the God, out from him are you in Christ Jesus, who is made to us wisdom from God. Then I put a poem, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that is boasting, let him boast in the Lord. Well, remember that the world system appeals to the flesh. Boasting, the flesh wants to do. And so the world system becomes a vehicle, if you will, to show what you can do. There's lots of opportunities for an individual to show what they can do within this world system that we are currently in. But that's not what God would have for us to do. He says that according as it is written, he that is boasting, let him boast in the Lord. We have the potential to show what God can do. So you can see the world system standards, the world system wisdom is going to be antipodal to God's standards and God's wisdom. Now we can look at a few of the things in scripture. It's interesting that Dale, in his message this morning in John chapter 8, he was in a context where the Lord made a comment where he says, I am not out from this world. I'm not out from this world as the source is what the Lord said. Let's go back to John chapter 8 and pick this up. And so we'll pick up in John 8:20. He says, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. And so here you see the Jews, they're not comprehending. They're not going to understand what he's saying. And said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he, talking about the Lord, said unto them, these Jews, you are out from beneath. I am out from above. And so you've got these little prepositions here. He says, I am out from above. And then he says, you are out from this world as the source. I am not out from this world as the source. And so here we see a truth related to the Lord. Well, for a believer, we're not out from the world system either. Now, when he said, I am from above. Now, that, I'm here in John. I'm going to just turn back to John chapter 3. And this be reminded of something the Lord said to Nicodemus in verse 3. So chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again. There it's just literally born from above. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I mean, he's going to make reference to that again in verse 7. And so, as Christians, we don't find our source of birth, if you will, from the world system. Let's go, let me just illustrate this in 2 Thessalonians 2:14. I'll read verse 13 as well. Second Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound, here Paul, in reference to the Thessalonians, and we are bound to give thanks always to the God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Because God has from not the beginning, but a beginning, chosen you to salvation by sanctification from the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you, not by, but through. This call to salvation, he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Christian is not out from this world. But the world does produce a lot of tares. But the world is not producing Christians. This world system is not producing Christians. The world system produces counterfeits. The world system produces tares. Let me just illustrate that in 1 John in chapter 4 in verse 5. And so in 1 John 4, 5, in 4, 1, you see he's talking about false prophets. And so in verse 5, John says, they are of the world. Speaking of these false prophets, they are out from the world as to source. Therefore speak they out from the world, and the world hears them. The world hears them and responds to them. They're speaking the same language. Now, when we come back to the Christian, we do not find our source in the world system. We're not out from the world system as the source. Let me just go back into the Gospel of John in chapter 17, where the Lord's communication with the Father, we have recorded, and I'll pick up in verse 14. Here the Lord continues, I have given them your word. So he's communication to the Father. And the world hated them because they are not out from the world as the source. Even as I am not out from the world as the source. And so we can share this in common with him. So even as I am not out from the world. And then he says, I pray. This, of course, this word here is literally ask. I ask. He's asking as an equal. He says, I ask not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them out from the evil one. And so they're not out from the world system as the source. He's talking about his disciples here, but they're going to be in the world. And then he comes back in verse 16 and he repeats, they are not out from the world, even as I am not out from the world. And that's important for us to remember as we relate to this world system. In Christ, we are completely separated from it. In 1 John, we've used this time and again as a pivot point, but in 1 John 5:19, and we typically are focusing on the fact that it says the whole world lies in the malignant evil one, the second part of that verse. But the first part, John says, and we know, we stand factually knowing that we, as Christians, is what he has in mind, we are out from God as the source. And the whole world lies in the evil one. It lies in the sphere of authority of the evil one. And so if that's true, when we make the connection back to 1 John 2:16, and he says, for all that is in the world. Well, the whole world lies in the evil one, the sphere of authority of the evil one. And he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. The world system appeals to the flesh, especially to certain works of the flesh. The flesh wants to do. The world system will give you something to do. The lust of the eyes. So the world system is built to appeal to the senses, but has a particular focus on the eye gate. And the pride of life. And the word for pride is our word for empty boasting. The vainglory, the empty boasting, the empty swagger of life. And life there is physical life. These things, he says, it's not out from the Father as the source. It's not out from the Father. Father's not the source of those things, but is out from the world as the source. So, we are on earth, we're in the world system, but we're not out from it. We don't belong to it. Our citizenship is in the heavens. That's where our citizenship is. So we're reminded of that. Of course, in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 20, it says, we're going to change conversation from the King James to just citizenship. Our citizenship is in the heavens, plural. Out from where we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where our citizenship is. Now, coming back to the Lord, when we think about as he is, so are we in this world. Let's just look at a few things related to the cross work. And so let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And so in Romans 5:8, and I won't expand the context here, but God commendeth, the King James reads, kind of the idea of he exhibits his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died on behalf of us. This is that huper preposition. Christ died on behalf of us. We can see over in 1 Peter 3:18 that it was the righteous one on behalf of unrighteous ones in 1 Peter in chapter 3. Verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, and there it's generally concerning sins, but the just, or just the unrighteous one, or an unrighteous one on behalf of the unjust or unrighteous ones, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in spirit. And so I would made alive in spirit. Now the believer has been baptized into his death. And so we can just illustrate that concisely from Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. He died on behalf of us, as we've already seen, in place of us. In Romans 6, 3, know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were immersed into his death. We share with him in that death on the cross. And so in verse 4, we're going to see also, it says, wherefore we are co-buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And this is would be resurrection life. Because he's been raised, we're counted to be raised with him. And see, we see from Romans that he was raised because of our justification. And so over in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, it says, who was delivered because of our offenses, just the word offenses here would be trespasses, and was raised, and we're just translating Medea here, is because of, he was raised because of our justification. In other words, the work has been done. It's been done on our behalf. Part of that cross work ties to our being separated from the world system. And you see that over in Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 14, where Paul says he's crucified to the world and the world unto him in Galatians 6:14. And so here Paul says, may it never be that I should boast. So Paul's not interested in boasting in his own abilities, boasting what he can do. The world system should certainly could supply avenues for that, would even encourage that, as it appeals to the flesh. The flesh wants to do. But here Paul says, may it never be that I should boast except in the cross, and I would supply work, of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world and the equality of the world system is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so this is, the crucifixion is tying this directly to the cross work where this separation occurred and our being connected to Christ and his death brought about a separation of the believer from the world system and from the world system from the believer. Now, he was raised because of our justification, and we are counted to be co-raised with him. And so, over in Colossians 2:12 is where I'll go to illustrate this. And so here Paul says, co-buried with him, looking at his death, co-buried with him by baptism, in whom also you are co-risen with him through the faith of the operation or the energizing from God who has raised him from the dead. And so the work is done. He's raised, and we are co-raised in him. And so his death is our death, but we've also been co-raised with him. Now, he's seated at the right hand of God. And so we can see this illustrated in Ephesians chapter 1. And let me just pick up in verse 19. Ephesians 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty strength, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. And so, and we see far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all things in all ways. And so seated at the right hand. Well, you know, we get over to Ephesians 2:6, we find out he's raised us together. He's co-raised us together and he's co-seated us together with Christ in the heavenlies. And so we're co-raised together and co-seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. It's interesting, seated. You know, the work is done. It's finished. He's seated. There's no more work for him to do. He didn't leave a bunch of unfinished work on the cross. Now it's just a matter of following through with the results of that. And so we can see when we go back into the Gospel of John, he talked about, let's turn to John chapter 16 and verse 33. He talks about the two environments of the Christian. Remember, there's a physical environment here on earth in the world system. There's a spiritual environment at the right hand of God in Christ. And so here he says, these things I have spoken unto you that in me, that's by the way, our spiritual environment, you might have peace. Now, this is his peace that he's talking about here. Remember what he had said? I'm going to hold my finger here in 16:33, and back in verse, or chapter 14, verse 27, he said, peace I send to you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. And so the world, we are in this world, this is a part of the physical environment that we're in, it offers something. But there's a song that we sing sometimes that we have something better. We who live by grace. And he says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Stop letting your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now going back to John 16:33. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation. King James almost makes this sound like it's a future, you shall. It's a present tense in the Greek. It says, in the world, you have tribulation, pressure. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so, the world system is an enemy, but it's an enemy that's been overcome, and in Christ, we're overcomers. And so you can see that back in 1 John, in chapter 5, and verse 4 and 5. And so let me turn there to 1 John, chapter 5, verse 4. Because everyone, having been born out from God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that is overcoming, or just overcoming the world, but he that believes, or is believing, that Jesus is the Son of God? And so as Christian, we're all overcomers. Now, I mentioned earlier that the ruler of this world is judged. Let's go back to the Gospel of John in chapter 16. And we'll pick up in verse 8, in reference to the Holy Spirit. So in John 16, 8, it says, and when he has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, looking forward at this point as he's speaking to the day of Pentecost, he says, and when he has come, he will reprove, the idea of convict, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince, this is literally the ruler of this world, is judged. He's judged. Now that judgment hasn't been carried out, but we could go back in John and we can see that he will be cast out. You see in John 12:31. Let's go back to John 12:31. He says, and I'm just going to take this statement here without developing the context, but now is a quality of judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Just now shall the ruler of this world be cast out, shall be cast out. And that's true. And so there is a quality of judgment on this world. It's a corrupt system, and it has a judged ruler. Now, for the Christian, we know in Christ that there's no condemnation. You can see this. Let me just go to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to the ones which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. Now, there's no thorough judgment or condemnation. Now, we are judged in the family sense. We've been judged with Christ at the cross. As a family sense, we can be judged, and there can be chastening as a result of that in present tense salvation. And you can see that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 32. And you can see that we're not condemned with the world, though. And so in 1 Corinthians 11:32, and of course this is a context dealing with some who were partaking of the Lordian table in another unworthy manner, and some were weak, and others were feeble, and many slept. And verse 32, we see, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, in order that we should not be condemned with the world. In Christ Jesus, the ones in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. And so we are child trained or chastened, though. Now, when we come back to the Lord, and I just want to tie this in here. Let's go back to the Gospel of John in chapter 3 and verse 19. Now, the King James, unfortunately, has a translation, condemnation. And this should be just our word for judged. And so this, or judgment, this is the judgment, not the condemnation. This is the judgment, though, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And so I'm just picking up that concept before I go over to John chapter 15. And in verse 15, or 17, excuse me, he reminds them of the new commandment. So he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. Now, as the child fulfills this new commandment, we can see that the world isn't going to have a great response to this. It says, if or since the world hates you, you experientially know it hated me before it hated you. He says, if you were out from the world, but you're not, the world would be fond of its own, but it's not. But because you are not out from the world, but rather I have chosen you out from the world, therefore the world hates you. It has this silent hatred. This shouldn't be unexpected. This should not deter you. You shouldn't be looking at the response from the world system, the unbelievers that make up the system, to get your guide as to what you should be doing or not doing. Over in 1 John, and we saw this already, but in 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 13, he said, stop marveling, my brethren, since the world hates you. Stop being amazed. It's a package deal. It's a package deal. Now, that's a strange thing to say because we love one another. Well, I don't think we have any unbelievers in the building today. But my guess is that there's been some agape going on in this building. And I don't know if anybody's spying in, if we have any unbelievers spying in the windows to see this. But my guess is, as agape love was directed at another believer, we had some 2 Corinthians 3:18 going on. Let me read that. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, reflecting as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed or transformed into the same image from glory to glory. from one quality of glory to another quality of glory, even as by the Spirit from the Lord. So we're being changed when believers are directing agape love at other believers. You're being changed. Now, I don't know how unbelievers perceive that or why that causes a hate. This is what Scripture says, though. And so John says, stop being amazed since the world hates you. He, in John 3:13, he had already told them in just two verses before, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. There's something about this change that is perceptible. We're different. We're being changed. We're becoming better mirrors. We're being changed into the same image or likeness from one quality of glory to another quality of glory. And so there's going to be a package deal. And so, but when we get the whole story, it's not a bad deal. You know, because we co-suffer, but we also are co-glorified, right? Let's take a look. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8:17, and I'll read 16:2, the Spirit himself, changing itself to himself because he's a person, the Spirit himself bears co-witness with our spirit that we are the born ones of God. And since children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we co-suffer with him, that we may be also co-glorified together. It's a package deal. And so we're in the world system here on earth, but we don't belong to it. We're not out from it as the source. Let me go just to a couple more verses, and then we will end here. Let's go to Colossians 3:4 on our way back to 1 John or 1 Peter. In Colossians 3:4, when Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory, in a quality of glory. And so you shall appear intimately together with him. It's a soon preposition. You shall appear intimately together with him in glory, in a quality of glory. Let's go to 1 Peter now into chapter 4. And now I want verse 11. If any man speak, now he's talking about the believer using his spiritual gift, similar or as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. In verse 10, it says, if or since a man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Since a certain man minister, let him do it as of the ability. The word ability should be strength, which God gives or supplies. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom is the, not praise, but the glory, I think. The dominion just into the ages of the ages. Let me pick up in verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, the idea of the character of Christ. Reproach has the idea of insult. Happy are ye, for the Spirit, and I would capitalize Spirit, for the Spirit of glory and of God refreshes upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. He says in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. It says on this behalf, or just literally in this part, in this way, in this part, let him glorify God. And so that's what we need to be reminded of, is we have two environments that we're functioning in. One of them is a physical environment on earth in the world system. The other one is a spiritual environment at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as he is, so are we in this world. We're completely separated in it, but God's grace is sufficient, and we have everything we need to really participate in glorifying God and what he has done through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the world system is a potential influence that would have you neglect that spiritual environment. We'll just close with that. Father, we do thank you for your word. We're grateful for our position and our privileges in Christ Jesus. We're thankful that we're not out from the world system as the source, that we're out from you as the source, and that your grace is sufficient, and that we're highly favored in the beloved. And we would pray that we would be those that are in constant reminder of those truths and not of some of the things that the world system bombards us with. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.